Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to the Wise Men Say AV Club. And on a weekend where the Bundesliga returned to our screens, what better way to whet the appetite for football than delve into some more football violence in the way of Danny Dyer showing us his real football factories. My name's Tom Walsh and I'm joined, as always, by Matthew Keeling.
Hello.
And Craig Clark.
Good evening.
In episode one of this, we did a deep dive on the first three episodes of this wonderful televisual event. So for anyone who missed it, here's what you've missed so far.
Welcome to the Real Football Factories.
Young men.
Ranga.
That is nice, though. You think can't even look.
Trouble.
This is the old Bill.
It's a tricky business.
You weigh about as much as a Rizzler paper. A treacle. Suicide Squad.
Boza.
I'm fucked.
Suicide Squad.
Pleasure to meet you, son.
Suicide Squad.
Boza. That's what he says.
A naughty little firm.
Being proud of your man.
The nutters in manner.
Naughty people.
Deep. Giving it the finger.
My head kicks in.
Bash me over the nut. And have it, all right?
Pint of the local brew, and I was soon back to my usual self.
Sunny Aberdeen,
absolutely taters.
Proper gear.
I'll tear up with a nice bit of clobber on.
The top dog can't get me nut round it at all.
Friendly banger.
The old Bill by the old Bill. Getting nicked.
All violence.
Trouble.
A thrill.
A smashing the gaffer.
Rod Stewart.
The boys' trouble with kicking.
Kicked off in
Luxembourg.
Or England.
Or English.
Bottles. Bricks.
Violence.
Banning orders. Hooligans.
Your 6 months bird.
Do I look nervous?
Don't feel it.
This German firm.
Treacle.
Have it.
Don't have it. Let's go in your...
Kick off hooligans.
You know, your mob.
Trouble. Football hooligans.
And fighting.
Diamond. Proper outfit.
You know what I mean?
50 of the airlock.
Geezers charged up to having beers.
And a chair up.
Be kicked. Be punched.
Banging.
Trouble.
Stamping on people.
Naughty. Very naughty.
Proper.
Kick off.
A jolly up.
A trouble. A
football fighting.
See you later.
So, yes, thank you for Will Jones on Twitter for putting together that amazing montage of Danny Dyer's just a wonderful TV performance. And as I was saying, we in the first three episodes we covered, Danny went to the bright lights of London, Manchester, and across the border to Scotland, and we learned a few things along the way, including how easy it is to infiltrate the Aberdeen hooligans, wearing normal clothes makes you a homosexual, according to people from Motherwell. Man United always brought numbers, no matter where they went. Danny Dyer loves a pink cardigan, and people in Burnley live in derelict houses. The last three episodes is really the coup de grace of the football factories. He's going to Yorkshire, and then he's across to the Midlands. Culminating in, it's kind of like all our old friends get back together at the end as England go across, any Danny Dyer ventures to the Badlands of Germany.
Which gives you a little taster for his, like, international factories.
Oh, yeah, God.
Which, when I was...
Coming soon.
Well, you'll be pleased to know there's eight episodes, I think, of that.
Yes.
Eight.
Well, I was stunned to see that. But when I noticed one of them come up on YouTube, it said, like, Croatia and Serbia, episode 6 of 8.
Oh,
and I was like,
God.
Really? That is a lot. I really like the international ones, but I don't know if I can handle it after 6 of these, same episode 6 times.
I think we owe it to the listeners to do it, you know.
There are some absolutely wild moments in it.
Lunatics on that one.
Yeah, like, it genuinely terrifying.
Like something else we learned just in the first three episodes of this one, is Danny Dyer knows nothing about any town outside of London.
That theme continues, yeah, as we'll soon find out, I'm sure.
He forgets, well, even more as we go on.
Well, I think that's the perfect place to start then. Well, we'll start because for some reason these are out of order on YouTube. So we'll start with Yorkshire.
Let me find the correct page in my book of notes.
Yes.
All right, excellent. Here we go.
We'll start with this this meaty slab of Yorkshire roast, which is Danny heading up the M1 and then visiting. So he goes to Yorkshire and he's going to meet a naughty bunch of lads in Leeds, Sheffield, and Hull. And there's a wonderful also a lot of Kaiser Chiefs playing.
Yeah, that was really annoying.
The laziest bit of like music.
It's like, you've got Sheffield. Couldn't you have like played some pub?
Oh no, there's Arctic Monkeys as well. Obviously.
Don't forget Bradford are in this as well. I mean, they're pretty naughty. We'll find out. Yeah. And it also means that we can regale people with stories of Bradford for the 47,000th time on this podcast.
That was our real football factor.
It was.
It's as close as we'll ever get.
Thank God we didn't meet the people that were in this. That's all I'll say.
No, because they really would have like battered us.
Yeah. Exactly.
It would have been no more mouthing off ever again.
No,
my coronavirus has put paid to that anyway, to be fair. So.
Yeah.
Well, true.
In fairness, if we had got our heads filled in at Bradford, we'd be playing this series like pretty straight of saying like how realistic it all is.
Yeah.
They're pretty on the money there. They're a naughty bunch in Bradford. But this episode starts with, as always, a history lesson, but also a montage of people having football riots. And there's a wonderful bit where a quite rotund man looks a bit like Nigel out of EastEnders way back when. He has a fresh air swing at someone on a pitch somewhere and then promptly just runs off after he misses. But as we've got used to these episodes, Danny likes to give us a little history lesson, a crash course of why football violence exists, because this will be now the fourth time he's told us that it's due to industry collapsing and disaffected youth with young men with nothing to do.
I'm sure there's a bit of Thatcher in at least one of these episodes as well.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's...
Is that to come later, I think?
I think that's England where they rile against Thatcher and the government.
What I like is, though, there's lots of moments that cross-reference between the episodes where you might get, for instance, in one of these, Aberdeen go somewhere for a friendly, or Burnley have played someone, and at no point at any of these moments, like where you've talked to people from all of these different places, but you never bring them into each other. It's as if they stand in silos. Like, you can't talk about the Burnley episode in the Leeds episode. Like, no, maybe you should, Danny. It would make it a lot more interesting and not like you've just thrown this together in like half an hour.
Yorkshire ends. We can't talk about Burnley in Yorkshire. We've got to
Oh my God, our minds will be blown.
I'd love to think what type of like span the film this over, because I feel like Danny Dyer did this in about 4 days.
Yeah.
And then
because that's all the budget would stretch to. They got some good offer on train tickets or something.
Weekly pass.
Student rail card fraudulently.
Yeah, of course.
He starts off because the big dogs in the in Yorkshire is obviously Leeds. Obviously, likes of Sheffield would disagree, but the Leeds service crew. Top of the arrest league, double of any firm in the country, which Danny seems again just so like taken aback by and so like overawed at this.
Yeah.
And as he describes it, it adds to the mystique of going to a game at Leeds.
I don't know about you, but that's what I would have thought about going to Welland Road. Like, yeah, the mystique of lots of arrests and banning orders.
But what for one person, the mystique is not lost. It's Dean Ashfield, one of the Leeds service crew's top boys, or whole, you know, is there always former top boys? They can't go within about 100 yards of Ellen Road without getting put in prison or something.
Oh, no, he's allowed to go. He's allowed quite close to the stadium because he looks at that plaque, which we might be able to talk about.
Yeah,
later.
He does, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Well.
Which is just a really crap moment in the film, the way the editing's done. So talk about that in a bit. But we get a mention as well, don't we? Sunderland.
Yes. Well, it sounds like the old Seaburn Casuals took it to the service crew because he said he got filled in by after attacking a Sunderland bus. But again, he's nice one of these goal, hooligans. And there was this bald gentleman with the...
but this made me wonder...
A plastic chair.
I think... yeah, well, there's plenty of those in another episode, but Sunderland, Borough, and Newcastle all get mentions in these three episodes, and you think, well, why didn't we get an episode?
Yeah,
why didn't we get one? Hull get a bloody mention. Bradford,
Hull, yeah,
Hull, you know what I mean? Shitty,
I find
Hull,
really strange, to be honest,
very annoying.
Well, Middlesbrough are mentioned loads, like, throughout the series.
They are.
And they're never mentioned. Or, like, they're never, like... They could have got, like, I don't know, some fat smoggy to be a talking head, talking
I'd love
blob.
To see Danny walking around, like, streets where Ace and Parker used to be, for instance.
Trying to find it, because no one's told him they've moved.
And he's really confused. Although, it's a naughty little manner.
Although... Going off his knowledge of, like, the British Isles, he probably thinks, like, Middlesbrough's just, like a signpost, or it's not actually a place, it's just, like, this tiny village.
Business park or something.
He thinks it's one of these places Leeds went to on one of their European tours.
Well, back to Dean Ashfield.
Oh, sorry, Dean.
The Leeds contingent of this, and he said, the good old days when you could have a ruck at football, and he said it in a slightly whimsical... like tear in his eye, that, you know, is another one. It's like, oh, the CCTV's ruined football for everyone. It's like, no, it hasn't ruined football. It's means no, it's, like it people like me can go to football and not get battered by someone like you.
Yeah, I don't have to fear this anymore.
You and your Von Dutch cap.
Yeah, I really don't.
Oh,
like
yes,
him.
I'm not a fan of this guy.
He just comes across as a dick.
Right? Yeah, when he's talking about the Sunderland thing, and he's on about like. This is what he seems to miss. Loads of little divs throwing bricks at the coaches. Yes, those starry-eyed about those good old days of bricks going through windows.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
I mean, those are the days, really, weren't they?
Oh, yeah. You still get that at Middlesbrough, actually. So, really, yeah, they should have had Middlesbrough on this. Really,
yeah,
they should.
Yeah, you do still get that.
And also, this gave an opportunity to go through, like... There's a big section on Leeds and their history of... They were the first team to properly go away. And there's a nice footage of when they go to Bournemouth. And it's...
oh, yeah.
On the final day of the season, I think it's in the very... Like, the early 90s, maybe 1990. And they need a point to go up. So everyone goes down there on a Maybank holiday. And 10, 000, essentially...
Apparently.
Yeah, that's a lot of people.
And essentially just set Bournemouth on fire.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sleepy town of Bournemouth. Was the line on the news on was it this one where it said they would no longer play games on a bank holiday?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah.
No, no longer play games on bank holidays in seaside resorts.
At all. Yeah, involving Leeds. That's it. You've fucked it, lads.
Like you've really ruined it for everyone now, haven't you?
Well, see, but Dan was, Deed was very happy about the thing, and he's just saying off like things off the cuff, like, oh, the pub ran out of beer, so we burnt it down.
Yeah.
It's like...
Yeah, try to set fire to the pier.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah. What was he doing to try and set fire to it?
Why did you do that? Like, what
I want to know more about the logistics.
What have you done that for? Like, in order to set fire to the pier, you must have to be on it, which means you can't get off it. Like...
Yeah. No, he may have just tipped lots of, say, petrol or some of the flammable all over the pier, then walked back and struck a match to try and light it. I don't know.
I just got a really image of him trying to do that now.
Yeah,
like, just trying to get, like, with a lighter, stood trying to set fire to concrete.
He definitely would have been at the end of the pier, though, like you say, and trapped himself on a little pier island.
Yeah. Stupid idiot.
it.
Really didn't like him. He really wound me up.
He had no character. Come across did he? Didn't have any
a,
like.
Nah, just come across.
Some
as
of the
like
others
a,
have got some real character, and he's just got. He's just a very Leeds based man.
Yeah, he's like an arsehole, isn't he, really?
Yeah.
Well, as he said, the streets made him the fighting man that he is today, and that his brothers battered him every single day. And it was
the brothers, yeah.
Well, you're a dick, so
kicking
the fuck out of him.
Fair play to them, really. I say.
Danny describes Leeds as a deepest, darkest Yorkshire. As a result of these comments, so mate, it's a massive, thriving city.
Yeah, it's probably.
Multiple
it's probably
universities.
One of the richest cities outside of London in the UK, yeah. I imagine.
I don't know what, in 2006, I mean, I guess it was a little bit, it wasn't as good as it is now, but still really good. Still had three universities. Deepest and darkest? No, probably not, actually.
But then, obviously, he leaves, well, he does actually go into deepest, darkest Yorkshire when he goes to Hull.
That's a good point, actually. Yeah.
And, so Danny's on the. So he's left Leeds. He's left the massive hooligan stories of burning down piers and whatnot. And he gets the train to Hull, and he's really he's really excited about it because it's also a Hull Leeds game that he's going to.
Yeah.
He's really like at first he's really excited, and as the train gets nearer to Hull, he's like, oh, this is bad. It's like. And again, he's like a bit like Burnley. He has no idea what Hull is like. In his own words, he's expecting a right small town in the middle of nowhere with Northerners running around ripping lumps out of each other. And it's like, again, this was like City of Culture, like a couple of years after that.
Yeah. Well,
Hull is like it's like a massive port. Like, how does he not know? Like, he talks as if he's never even heard of it.
Well, because for him,
he's such a...
stepping outside of his manor, he's like the classic Londoner, isn't he?
He is.
Yeah. He's not been north of the Watford Gap until this programme.
Like,
was
the way
made.
He talks about these places, like, he's from Canning Town.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Like, he is from the depths of East London.
I think for me, what you really get an idea of what he's about when he says that this image that he's basically made up himself gives him a sense of the reality of the danger he's in.
Yeah.
And like in the other episodes, as I'm sure Tom's about to reveal, how much danger was he in, Tom?
Well, not a lot. Not a lot. In fact, I'd probably say less than zero.
Well, this whole Leeds game is just a game.
Yeah, why is he...
Yeah.
Like, it's just a championship game. Like...
He's building it up. He's like, it's like this big rivalry. He does this on multiple occasions in this show, and it's like, when has Hull Leeds ever been a big rivalry?
To be fair, Hull Leeds is a thing. Like,
is it?
Yeah, it is a thing.
Oh,
it is
God,
it is
we're
a
worse
derby.
Than Dyer. We because know nothing.
Yeah, well, I know. To me, again, they're knowing nothing on a podcast.
It's because, like... It's like Hull don't have any rivals, so it's just Leeds.
Is that because it's a no-mark town in the middle of nowhere?
Danny actually right?
Well, I wouldn't say it's like an enormous... Because I don't know who Hull's rivals are supposed to be, like Scunthorpe.
Grimsby?
Exactly. So, and then Leeds is like the next big city along, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose.
Lots of people hate Leeds, I guess, including including teams in Turkey, for instance. So.
Oh yeah, that's we'll come back to that in a moment. But he goes to Hull to meet Sean Tardoff of the beautifully named Hull City Psychos.
Yeah.
I've got it down here that he looks like either Kevin Kilbane in 15, 20 years or John Inverdale.
He does look like John Inverdale, yeah. That's good.
Certainly
yeah.
doesn't look like a man who's going to kick someone's head in.
No, well, he isn't because there was no danger at all.
Well, yeah, but Danny was worried that anything was going to happen to his railings or
his railings.
And he can never get his nut around these names.
Why are they going to hit him?
Oh, yeah, the Hull City Psychos. He was worried about... He couldn't get his nut around the names of these firms, could he?
Yeah, that was it.
Well, why do you think they call themselves Psychos, Danny? They like to fight. What do you think the reasoning could be behind that name? Why has Danny got ginger hair in this, by the way, as well?
Yeah, he's got some weird highlights in this.
Yeah, because in the first episode, it makes you wonder if it wasn't filmed in the order that it's shown, because in the first episode he had these terrible blonde highlights, and it makes you wonder if these went wrong initially.
Yeah, well, you've got to think about the geography of his four-day trip. What order would he have done it in?
Well, if he was doing it himself in any random order whatsoever, because he doesn't know where anything is.
Well, we know he finished in Scotland because he went from meeting the prog rock artist straight back to London. That was his final destination. Then he probably flew to Germany from London. Yeah, as a separate.
Because you can only fly to Germany from London, because that's the only place with an airport in the United Kingdom, according to Danny Dye.
It's true.
Anyway,
when he gets off the train in Hull, he doesn't. It's this episode where I realise he's not met the majority of these hooligans. Because he doesn't meet this Sean Tardoff guy who's telling you about the Hull City psychos. So essentially what he does is get off, go and watch a championship game, and he comes out the station thinking he's going to get stabbed. And then the Hull City psychos he seems to be around, all of them look about 14.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that's just him walking to a ground and these little kids have like latched on because he was in Football Factory.
And they show like a camera.
But he did.
Yeah.
He did.
Oh, someone's filming.
He did make it to the ground unscathed, though.
He did. Oh, yeah. His boat and his railings are both
were intact.
Safe, yeah. Beautiful.
There's a nice bit where Sean Tardoff explains how like people meet up at England games and like swap numbers and then do that. And I thought, that's quite cute in a way. No, quite sweet.
No. I think you missed the most important thing, Tom. He describes this swapping of email addresses and phone numbers as things being quite sophisticated.
Yeah,
you can tell he's a man of 80s meetups. You know what I mean? He's like, he hasn't got his head round like BlackBerry phones or whatever they had in 2006. Oh, it would have been Nokia's, wouldn't it?
I would have loved to see those like email like subject lines.
I would like to see the email address HullCityCycles@gmail.com.
No, it'd be at AOL.
Wannadoo.co.uk.
And like, it turns out it wasn't the CCTV that was the problem after all. It was a very simple case of monitoring really obvious email addresses. Yeah, they're going to meet up in this field here. How do you know, Gov? They've sent an email there and it's not protected.
Hello@theLeeds Service Crew have sent an email to reception@HullCityCycles.co.uk.
I tell you what, just going on a tangent here, if we can find it, we really need to review BBC Three's. It was called something like Football Fight Club.
And
it was a lad from Bury on it.
That was about 4 years ago.
Yeah,
I remember that.
Because there's a fantastic bit in it where these two Man City fans driving around Stockport looking for West Ham, and he answers the phone and goes, "Hello, is that West Ham?"
This is West Ham United.
Yeah. Was Danny Dyer on the other end of the phone?
Lost.
Honestly, it was hilarious. But
if
we can find
that. We need to find that. Yeah.
We'll go through
that out. Yeah.
So, from Hull, obviously this Leeds Hull game is another example of just excellent police work.
It's all Bill that runs.
Nothing happens. Yeah. And they designed a stadium, which means the fans can't meet. So
yeah, it's an impenetrable fortress.
So
rendering
really
his trip totally pointless.
Yeah, he's gone to a really shit match.
Yeah, Hull versus Leeds in 2006.
We've got to look that up. We've got to look up that and see who was playing. It's absolutely insane.
It wouldn't have been the year.
Simon Grayson managed. Oh no, is it too?
While one of us looks that up, Danny's going from the East Riding of Yorkshire to South Yorkshire and to Sheffield, and now kicking some Arctic Monkeys.
Yeah,
because he's meeting both sides of the divide, and the first person he meets is Dougie Naylor from Owls Crime Squad.
Never has a man looked more like his name.
Yeah.
Like, if you were given the name Dougie Naylor and asked to draw him, you would draw that man.
You draw. I mean, I love Dougie Naylor, and I also love that they called the Owls Crime Squad.
Uh-huh. Crime Squad. If you're gonna have any subtlety to your hooligan firm, it's like, why have I been nicked? Because you're in something called the Crime Squad.
Oh my god. These names are really not very good, are they?
No,
they're really not good.
I mean, at least the Burnley Suicide Squad took it from...
That was great.
Yeah, from Lebanon in 1983, where they saw suicide bombers. It's like,
that's
right,
amazing, okay. That. And then, like, stuff like what we get onto in the Midlands, they've got some pretty creative names, but yeah. All the Yorkshire ones are really, really crap.
Well, would you expect anything less from someone called Dougie Naylor?
I love Dougie Naylor. Like, I really love him.
So would you say he's your favourite one? In the whole...
No, that's yet to come. Yes. We have to go to the Midlands for my favourite, I think. Dougie's up there, though. He's top five.
Oh, well,
that's
fair play. Champions League for him.
For the benefits of the listener, Dougie Naylor just looks like a thinner Mickey Flanagan.
So if someone asks you to draw thin Mickey... Dougie Naylor, that's what you would draw. That gives people a really good idea, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, actually, no, just drawing for yourself, and I bet you...
Whoever submits the best Dougie Naylor.
Yeah.
Gets to meet Dougie Naylor for a pint.
Wins, gets
a punch in the face. Yeah, that's it. Anyone who's listening to this pod, if you could draw your best impersonation of Dougie Naylor and send it to Wiseman Say on Twitter, and we'll pick the best one, and then we'll send him around your house to batter you.
I mean, and I love when Dougie's like going through his list of war wounds, by the way. Sounds like a footballer who's had an injury-ravaged career, but like really horrible injuries. Yes. Like really nasty ones.
Oh, that were bad, that one.
I was laughing at the one who was like, oh, did me knee at Burnley.
Again. Yeah, that was it. That was when I started thinking, oh, so you're basically like, I don't know, like Darren Anderton, because he had loads of injuries.
Well, Danny takes... Sorry, go on, Matt.
No, sorry, it's just when he says that he's got, like, steel now in his fists.
Yeah, then he starts braining a punch bag.
Yeah, this is probably the strongest bone in my body now. Cut to him punching a punch bag.
Things aggressively. Yeah.
Well, quite apt for the Steel City, of course.
Oh, yeah, nice. Poetic.
So Danny actually meets Dougie Naylor and all these pals in the Traveller's Pub, which I thought I'd been in it at some point in my life, but alas, I haven't. It's now a Sainsbury's. But he keeps going on how, like, not only, I think, because Danny says the word naughty so much, they start repeating it.
Yeah.
They go, we've got, like, this is the naughtiest firm in Yorkshire, or, like, in the UK. And then we also have another character that's not, Graham Thompson just pipes up, who keeps saying how much he hates the police.
Yeah.
And how Sheffield United didn't have a firm, which is wrong.
Yeah, which is just wrong, yeah. Don't like him either.
Wednesday, they've always run Sheffield. He says that lots of times. And I like how these two men are very sort of like kind of proud about the fact that like Graham's been knocking about since the 1960s. Dougie, he's, to be fair, Dougie, like, he's got a great set of hair for a man in his 40s.
He has.
Yeah, he does actually.
But like, Graham is an absolute lunatic. I mean, Dougie is clearly, but Graham's definitely... I could have seen him, like, actually, this is the one of the times where you think he could have clipped Danny, like, in this circumstance in the pub. Like, he's really revved up.
Piping up all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He's, like, really revved up. Those two have been doing this hooliganism stuff. Like, you know that guy in the Everton guys that, oh, I was doing my GCSEs, mate. Isn't the time you've grown up? No one's told that to Dougie yet, have they?
No. And if he does, he wouldn't care. I think he'd still do it.
No, he'd be
proud.
Like his hero, Graham, he'd just keep doing it. Like,
despite Sheffield United claiming despite Graham claiming that Sheffield United didn't have a firm. Unfortunately for him, they do, because the Blades Business Crew, BBC.
Yeah, going to go to an expo.
BBC.
Conference, the Google Meet.
That's where you're technologically advanced,
weren't they? Yeah.
We meet, is it called Steve Cowan, I've got down here?
Yeah. Who, oh, by the way, when he leaves Wednesday, though, when he leaves the pub, I really liked how Danny is just walking around with his pint in the street.
Yeah.
That, I loved that. Just before we segue to United with, yeah, Steve Cowans.
But he claims, this is the thing that goes very against what Graham Thompson's just said, because he says the United run the show in Sheffield.
It's funny that, isn't it, that he would say that?
Yeah, it's a bit of an odd one. And then we go on to the derbies between the two teams, which, the thing is, Steve, at first he says he doesn't really like the use of petrol bombs, but then keeps laughing every time that they mention it.
Yes, he does.
And then, but then he's like a modern day, or like the equivalent of Harris in the actual film.
Yeah,
because
he's got the register.
He's got a register going on the trip, the big day out to the Rico Arena at Coventry.
Danny calls it the Rico. Yes,
he calls it the Rico, Coventry's Rico Stadium. But he goes, and he goes, Sheffield have gone on an away day to the city of Coventry, where they will play Coventry.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Well done. Oh, correct, from Danny. They will.
And then when he's on about it, when they're on their away bus, Danny's like, their behaviour's alerted the police, and it's like, no, it didn't, Danny, because as you immediately see after, that then they get escorted to the ground, which is standard procedure for all fans. Yeah. So their behaviour hasn't attracted anyone. It is literally a standard police escort.
Yeah.
That all away buses get.
And it's at the Rico Arena.
Rico Arena.
It's like when he says Hibernian as well.
Oh, yeah. He just says it completely wrong.
I love how, again, this is another example. I mean, we've seen Coventry fans pretty lunatic. They're a bit, you know, off it. There's no Coventry in the Midlands one.
No.
He goes on an away trip with the Rico.
Danny put them in the Yorkshire one.
Yeah, that's true. Danny's not there, is he?
Danny's not on that bus.
No, it wasn't part of his 4-day trip. Yeah.
Yeah, his weekly pass had ran out by that. Maybe he didn't want to get on the hourly service back after the game, to be fair to him.
Oh, I hate God, that place.
Yeah.
Well, although Danny does go and meet the head of, Steve Cowan from the BBC, who's coaching.
Sounds really
game.
Professional, doesn't it?
Yeah. Great. Wait, does it? Maybe that's why they did it.
Yeah, it's where your license fee goes.
Yeah.
But he goes to meet them because he's managing a Sunday league team, and Danny's not happy about getting his trainers ruined.
The Northern mud. The Northern mud.
The Northern mud.
Which is obviously muddier than London mud.
Well, yeah, it's Northern mud.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah.
Proper
actually gravy.
Proper mud. Yeah, it's pistol.
There's a. This amazing bit where he goes to him, it's like, oh yeah, I used to play Sunday League, but it just used to kick off every week.
Yeah,
yeah, no, it didn't. Not with you, it didn't, you little weasel.
And again, it's another one of these things where he goes, I just feel sorry for the youth today. They just can't do anything. It's like, oh God, no, stop
can,
it.
You can go to the football. Normal.
To be honest,
beings.
In 2006, mate, there's a lot of things young people can do. Lots of things.
Yeah. Get smoke indoors.
Yeah.
For a good
there's
year.
There's a lot of that in the Midlands, by the way.
Oh,
lots of smoking indoors in the Midlands.
Well, Danny also goes to Sheffield United versus Leeds, where he's like getting really hyped up for something that never happens.
Yeah, another example of that. And that one, actually, you did get the sense, you know, in the past, probably still has edge to it as well, that game.
Yeah.
Not on this occasion, though.
Is Sean Angel one of these people?
Yeah, I'm just about to get onto him, Sean Angel.
Oh yeah, Cowans has got his Northern Scum hat on.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. Well, Sean Angel, he's one of these that goes, he got arrested once and then said, enough is enough.
That was
it's like
Yeah.
It's against the whole principle of this entire series.
Yeah. I love that.
You
don't want to be ending up in prison.
Yeah, he goes, you'd have to be an idiot to do that.
Yeah.
What did you think was going to happen? Well, like,
I know.
What did you think was
what was the end game
when you started doing this? Oh, no, I've been arrested. This wasn't supposed to happen.
He also went, the thing is, though, he got about as well because he's got pictures of himself at a Celtic game.
And
he also looks a little bit like Brock Lesnar, I thought.
Yeah, he did a bit.
For want of a better comparison, I couldn't quite put my finger on it, but he did look pretty like... you know, you wouldn't want to cross him. Except he wouldn't touch you now because he doesn't want to go to prison. So
no. There's also a nice little cameo at the end through the Bradford City Ointment.
Oh, no, that's a really good name. That's the best name.
That's a good name. Yeah. And that's it's creative. Also Bradford, it's like a big medical place, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's got the museum
as well.
Museum of Medicines in Bradford. So
that's good, actually.
Well done.
I'm a big fan of what they say where they're like, well, it's just what lads do, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just what lads do, is it? I mean, like Bradford, for a small section of the population, maybe, yeah.
Well, there's a nice crossover in this section because Bradford played Aberdeen in in a friendly. And what would it... Well, if there'd been any depth to this series, we could have got the Aberdeen hooligans, hopefully the guy with flowing locks,
to speak about
this Bradford game. But
no, they didn't do enough research to actually draw links, do interesting interviews, cross references. They're just these weird standalone things that Danny is sometimes in a room with a hard man.
They only had 3 hours of Danny Dyer's time.
Enough time for a quick pint. That's about it, really.
Do we want to do about Dean Ashfield's kind of like poignant standing at the plaque outside Ellen Road?
Yeah, we should probably talk about Turkey. Yeah. That was genuinely horrible.
Yeah,
it was.
But really bad.
It's one of these things where it's all glorified in this, and then two people literally die, and like,
someone dies in another one.
They were caught up in it as well, weren't they?
They weren't even hooligans.
Yeah. It's just I don't know, but it's not like it's not. You'd think like people like that would say, "Oh, maybe what we're doing is actually bad. Maybe in this like reign of terror we have across like Europe, maybe." The ones to blame,
especially because they weren't involved. Like some two lads. Just walking about have died, and we're still continuing to do this hooligan thing.
And I'm sure in the great
terrible, really,
the great editing of this program as well. I'm sure when he's been looking at the plaque, the cut to the next place has followed. Like you know, it's this maybe kind of poignant moment, and it's followed by this like really jaunty kind of like indie slash kind of slightly upbeat punky indie track, and you're like, yep, that's this program all over, isn't it? Badly researched, badly edited.
But like just like after that, just Danny leaves the last portion of this show on a cliffhanger because he goes after the break we're gonna find who is the, like, he's been all around Yorkshire and he's like, who is the biggest firm? What is the naughtiest firm? it comes back to it. Is it the service crew of Leeds, the ointment of Bradford, the BBC of Sheffield? And it goes, no, actually, the biggest firm in this part of the world is South Yorkshire Police.
Doesn't he call them the SYPD?
The SYPD.
It's like, SYPD.
Yeah. We're not in America, mate.
But he also
Green Street 2.
He kind of insinuates it's like if you want to be in a proper like big firm, join the police.
It's like you want to kick fuck out of people, go like, back to the 80s and kick miners in.
This program's just a big recruitment drive for the police.
It is, isn't it?
Really
it's like
is.
When Bart joins the band. Ivan and Miaj.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Oh, it's a bit I just couldn't believe that at the end. It's just like, so maybe if you want to have a proper rock, maybe you should join the police.
That's
like,
not what you join the police for. You're supposed to stop rocks.
No, but as he points out, though, the links back to the miners and stuff, back to the 80s, this is a particularly hardened police force and collapsed industry.
So he's even applied collapsed industry to the police now.
Yeah, they were part of the collapsed industry. If you want to collapse an industry, join the SYPD.
And that brings us neatly to an end of our Danny's trip to Yorkshire. After the break, we're heading to the Midlands for an incredibly packed episode.
Yeah. But my favourite, I think. I can't wait
for this. So, see you after the break.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door.
Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kevin Kyle and you're listening to the Wise Men Say podcast.
Welcome back to the Wise Men Say AV Club, where we're on our... Well, we're entering episode 5 of our deep dive into Danny Dyer's Real Football Factories. But before we head to the Midlands with our beloved Danny, we've got a few plugs for you. Obviously, From the Terraces are back open, or opening soon. And if you want to look much better than Danny Dyer, pick yourself out some lovely gear, and you can sit in your house and watch the Bundesliga while wearing it. who else we got? Oh, Dave Wright's caricatures, if you want like a nice caricature of stuff, like a calendar. Does he do calendars?
Yeah,
I don't know, I've not researched this.
Probably not, no point buying one in May, but...
Oh, why not?
Oh. Calendars come in handy at any time. Stop trying to undermine this plug, Matthew.
Why would you buy that?
Buy one, some brewery are selling beer as well. You can go there for some beer.
Why would you want that?
You can get a right mix of stuff here. You can get a caricature of yourself
drinking a beer
in your clothing while you're drinking Maxim beer.
In May.
I shout out to the Saltgrass who kept me supplied with some of my beer over the last couple of weeks.
For free? That's kind of nice.
Yeah, well, no, I've got to buy it, but hopefully free from now on. They've got a lot of Tiny Rebel stuff in, and they're selling it.
Doesn't sound like Maxim Brewery.
No. Well, I don't care. It's nice. And
I'm joking, man, you div.
Well,
I'm going to put a brick through your bus window.
Well, no, that doesn't happen anymore because CCTV's ruined it.
In emails.
Yeah, anyway, go to Saltgrass and buy yourself some Club Tropicana for £6.
Yeah, lovely beer, that. One of my personal favourites. Pop Rex have been doing stuff haven't they? Yeah,
yes.
Just buy things from them.
Yeah, because they're nice. And
like
send
more, yeah.
They might send you a personalised note like they did with Rory.
Yeah.
Like you're calling him a mag.
Amongst other things. Right, let's get back to Danny Dyer. And now he's heading to the Midlands. And as we know, it's a jam-packed full of football teams. And that means... more firms.
And I've got this down there, Tom, as the race issue episode as well.
This is where Danny Dyer tackles racism.
Already found, he's already talked about this with the black people of London that he talks to, like Cass Pennant. But again, there is no reference to the fact that he's already talked about.
Well,
they also go on about how multicultural the Midlands is, as if London isn't the single most multicultural place on earth. Right, that's my bit over.
there's another crossover in this as well. I know we haven't done the intros to the characters, but well, actually, I'll wait till you've done that, Tom, and I'll shout out what it is.
Well, there's a wonderful element to start this. It's like the stereotypical hooligan is a racist, but is that true?
Yes.
Is that true?
Is that true in
the Midlands?
Yeah, love this. What an episode.
We should also note that there's one in the England episode where it's just someone doing a lot of Zeke Heil salutes. So
it is true. Yeah.
And the Zeke Heil is mentioned in this as well.
Yeah.
In this episode.
Well, there's a lot of this is over a montage of like Enoch Powell speeches.
Oh yeah.
And then a lot of there's a massive crash course in how in the racial divide in Birmingham.
Yeah, it's really really informative stuff. This is where I go for my history lessons on right wing politics in England. Danny Dyer's Real Football Factories.
Well, I mean, to be honest, like where else could like a young impressionable male get such high quality like opinions on the racial divide in this country than with football hooligans. So, but the thing is, the Birmingham one, it's all about bringing all races together in the common goal of kicking the fuck out of someone.
I've also got down here, I've got this in early, right, so I'm going to mention it and see if anyone can remember who said this. All I wanted to be as a child was a hooligan.
Yes!
Don't know who said it.
Danny Dyer.
And I failed.
Well, right. There's a bit of like, there's a lot of talking heads in this thing.
Yeah,
and
there is.
The first person we're kind of introduced to is a fella called David George, who looks like, to be honest, he looks like a pretty like respectable bloke, like quite eloquent and
he's
all that.
He's very erudite, isn't he?
Yeah.
And he's got very softly spoken.
He loves kicking people.
He loves
people.
Fights. Yeah. Loves it.
And this is when we're introduced to the famous Zulus firm of Birmingham, which, if you're not familiar with that, it's a... Well, the difference is it was like the Zulus were just like all kind of races in a football hooligan firm where they were normally just like white males.
White, shaved-headed, potentially Nazi males.
And there's actually a good... This actual section, I think, is actually quite good because it brings... There's a good like kind of description of like the skinhead culture, the two-toned culture, and how that kind of like melded together.
Mm.
So I felt that was quite well done until Danny Dyer goes into a pub full of Zulus, and they're all chanting Zulus, Zulus, and then he comes out with, "Now I know how Michael Caine felt."
Yes. Oh man, this is so... That's my favourite part. I love it. There's a lot of film references in this one because,
as we later discover,
David George is a filmmaker, and tells you that it's a bit like Braveheart. And he also says later, and I've got to find this because it was one of my favourite bits, is where he talks about us like Platoon and Saving Private Ryan, but without the bullets.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing like it then.
So nothing like those two things.
Really.
But yeah. And he gets Michael Caine in there, Danny. Because he obviously thinks he's the next Michael Caine, I guess.
Well, he's a cross between him and having done Pinter.
Oh, yeah. And we do also get a go from Danny, Michael Caine, Braveheart, to such characters as Ginger Moz and One Eye Baz.
Well, One Eye Baz is the crossover. Is another episode of Danny Dyer's Deadliest Men.
Yeah, yeah. Oh,
he does,
is he?
Yeah, so he does. He's called Barrington.
Oh, right.
And he does a...
That's his first name?
Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant name.
Sure, he's called Barrington. I'm sure he's on Twitter. And so we'll not say anything about him.
I'm really in awe of his name.
He's a boxer. I'm sure that he does boxing on the episode of... Danny's Deadliest Men, and he is hard as fuck.
You know what? If I had a kid, I want to call it Barrington. I think it's an excellent name.
Sure,
Barrington Clark.
It could be a second name, but either way, it's a good name.
I mean, you know, if I had a name like Barrington, I'd be kind of disappointed I got lumbered with that nickname.
He's
got a great name.
Yeah, he comes across well. It's really, actually, really good. Yeah, it's quite interesting. The episode of like focused on him. I think it might be the first one, because he does like a boxing comeback or something, and obviously he's only got one eye, hence One Eye Baz.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But yeah, I think I can't remember how he lost it, but he does like bouncer and door stuff. I think. But yeah, watch that anyway. It's good. So
I'll tell you what,
like a decent fella-ish.
This and their youth people, the Birmingham ones. You know, that made me think. I am so glad the Peaky Blinders didn't exist when this came out.
But imagine them now. I imagine Birmingham hooligans that have that get up.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, one of the kids in the youth has like one of the hats.
Yeah.
But at least he's doing it before like it was like
by order of the Peaky Blinders, you mean?
Yeah,
I hate that program. Anyway.
Oh, same, I can't stand it. And you know what, I think Zulus and all the stuff what they're about and all this like kind of racial integration and stuff, it is actually really quite like cool. Like they are probably the coolest firm in the whole thing. They've got a really good name, a really good reason
the
for the name.
The war cry is quite...
Yeah, it's intimidating it is, as fuck. Like, and the thing is, they're the worst football club.
They are.
I hate Birmingham City.
I do, and it's always awful to go there as well.
It's a real...
It's a real edgy place.
It's
really, shall we say, naughty.
It is. I went to a pub there with a few years and years ago. We went there. And I kind of regretted it because you got talking to these people who, you know, you've seen Deliverance.
Yeah.
One of them looked like the kid who plays the banjo in Deliverance. And like, you know, when you're like, they're being nice, but I am kind of a bit worried here. This is a very much a home pub.
It is.
We're not handy people. I don't think we should be here.
Like anything around, but like obviously my wife's from Midlands and spent quite a lot of time in Birmingham. And like Digbeth is like, you walk through Digbeth to get to the ground really if you go from the city centre, and Digbeth's great, like Digbeth's like, well, you just can't go there if you play in Birmingham because it's like you just, I remember we played them, I think it was a cup game during, I think we won 3-0, and I remember like having to walk back to the city centre like, and it was like, oh, no, I think I'll get a taxi. I'm not walking through Digbeth, definitely.
They're the only place. Well, Birmingham's a place where, like you say, you go there and you still feel on edge today.
I really like the city, Birmingham. I think it's great.
The city's great.
Both the football clubs are in really. I don't like where Villa is very much either. Aston. I like the stadium, but I don't really like it around there.
It's not there. It's just
not very nice.
Shit.
Mm. But. Oh, derelict. So there's some Burnley fans live
there. But. As you say, Craig, it is quite like, in a way, quite cool because, as they say, they were brought together by the music at the time. And John Heron says, he said, oh, it's music you could fight to. And I was like, So, like, the specials and the beat and stuff like that.
And then doesn't David George say, like, oh, yeah, like, some of the dance moves... It's kind of like martial arts, so you bring the dance to the fight. And they talk about this song in the 1982 that I can't remember, some US thing.
Yeah, it's African Bamberta, Planet Rock, it was called.
That was it, yeah. Like, all the stuff that... I think these, and maybe, like, you give, like, the ICF, like, West Ham, Yid Army, because it's, like, got the reason for the name...
Like,
even if the Headhunters is quite... The London ones have got pretty good names and stuff. I think all the, like, Yorkshire ones and stuff, they've got really shit names.
I think with this one as well, the pub he goes in, I'm sure it's the Irish Centre in Digbeth.
Yeah, I think it is.
Which is another, like, sort of... There's a big Irish population around there, and that's another sort of...
Yeah.
Where, like, again, like, includes different backgrounds, different...
They talk about that, don't they?
It's great. It's a fantastic part of this city, apart from when they
bring
it all.
He says, I think it's David George is talking about, he says it wasn't just us, like, black people or, like, any of the other sort of, like, racial minorities, it was the Irish as well. Because all that, obviously you had the IRA, you had the Troubles.
Yeah.
So you got this impression of Birmingham, like, later when you see, I think Stokes got the red hat, you know, like, they must have had a really complicated relationship with James McLean.
Yeah.
Because they had the kind of red hand, the Northern Ireland thing going on. You get the impression Birmingham just was none of that kind of... No. I had a talk... This actually did learn something about Birmingham.
Yeah. It's always been that an enormous, like, melting pot of, like, all kind of, like, ways of life. And it's quite, like, interesting how the firm represents that way. You would have thought it'd just be, like... The archetypal, like, right wing kind of,
like, reacting to it.
Yeah. Whereas in actual reality, it's all of them kind of coming together.
So
there's
quite a lot,
kind of,
maybe,
like,
about the city then. Like,
yeah.
That's something I feel like I would actually quite like to know more about the history of that football club and that element of it that probably started in the late 70s or maybe late 60s, because I really didn't know anything about this until this program.
I've known, like, limited stuff about the Zulu. I think when he does that episode with Barrington, he touches on the Zulus, but that's obviously probably as far as I've got. It is really interesting. Yeah. It is actually genuinely really interesting. This has all gone a bit serious now, but it's like...
No, it is, because it is quite an interesting thing to talk about, especially when you compare it to the next crew in Stoke.
Oh, fuck no.
Well... As
it makes you forget everything you've learned about
the naughty 40.
Fucking hell. God.
Whereas we've gone from Birmingham, where you can kind of understand the kind of ethos behind it and kind of like the meaning and the melting of cultures and all that, then we're taken to the bright lights of Stoke-on-Trent to meet the the naughty 40, which Danny Dyer describes as sounds like a porn mag.
But then, my mum always said, don't judge a book by its cover.
Oh, my God.
So, right, I love how he segues from a porn mag. Unless it's Pinter, of course. He segues from porn to his mum.
I know.
Nice one, Danny.
I will say this about Stoke, and we just mentioned that about Birmingham, how I was like, feel a bit on it. I've been in pubs, that little, whatever Stoke and Trent is, when you go to the train station, you go into the... like
the pub.
No. It's if you go into the town, which the coppers tell you not to.
Yeah.
Well, I don't even know. What is that? You know, you come around the corner from the train station. I thought that was just Stoke.
I don't know, but, well, Stoke, the city centre is Hanley, isn't it? Is it not?
Well, this place
what you mean,
round
though. It's horrifying.
Oh, there's so many good things that happen, though, when we meet them.
But I'm saying, I've been in a pub like that where you're chatting away thinking you're all right here, and then it's just like, it's a fucking rough old place, Stoke.
It's sort of very much the place where it's Royston Vasey, isn't it, really? You're not welcome there.
I don't like it, like.
Oh, no.
And if you're not from there, you should not be there.
You're not welcome, are you?
Well, as you said, we've gone from the... you know, the mixture of all cultures in the Zulus to all bald white men, which is...
Oh, no, some of them have hair, to be fair, because one of them looks like Rod Stewart. More on him soon.
Oh, where it pans around on one of them, and one of them's wearing, like, Oakley shades. It's just...
Rod Stewart.
Yes! Oh, my word, he looks absolutely awful.
That's the worst ever, though.
Oh, I love these people.
But we meet Mark Chester, and what is the first thing that Danny Dyer asks Mark Chester?
Yes!
He sits down in his pub and asks, so, did we get the film spot on?
Yeah. Mark Chester ain't very happy though, is he?
No, because he said they did some Stoke fans in the film. It's like, it's not real, you
it's
fucking
really.
Moron!
It's them it's Stoke horrible fans that done us.
Yeah, it's them Stoke fans that done us.
Oh dear!
It wasn't you, one of them.
It was them.
It was. Hope it was.
Well, the thing is, God. this
I
guy, like
people.
This Mark Chester, he really like he like creeps me out a bit.
I hate him
because he keeps going on about like. It's all about respect in the firm.
Yeah.
It's about respect. You've got to keep in the rules. And there's a bit where one of them talks over him and he stops the entire thing. He's like, know your place, son. Know your place.
And it feels almost staged. It's so horrible.
It's awful. Yeah. It's awful. But he keeps coming across like he's like some kind of deep thinker. And he said, it's actually just hooliganism is just like being in an extreme sports club. And just like we're all addicts. Just like
the
fuck
other,
off.
The other one
you're not. You're just a dick.
His mate, who isn't one of the silent two, who we'll talk about more, I'm sure. Jed Forrest, who likens hooliganism to an adventure, swashbucklers, something about being like pirates. What the fuck are you talking about, Jed?
Can I just see Jed Forrest looks like he's in the Lightning Seeds?
Yes. Good. Excellent.
He looks like Bonehead. Gone wrong.
It does make you think as well. Like this is probably more again about the lazy nature of this documentary series has been made, but really, it would have been more just to do an episode on the Zulus and like the ICF and Headhunters, rather than just do it and call it the Midlands. Like
and go
because
and see
there's
these
no
losers.
Comparison between the the Birmingham Zulus to like these morons in Stoke. Like they could have got like a lot more. Like it was really good, the bit obviously we said it, the stuff about the Zulus and the background and the culture of it. They could have got a lot more out of that if they'd really thought about it rather than just going, oh well,
we've got to do
far,
everything.
Yeah, it's not far from Stoke, so we'll go and see these Neanderthals. It's just like they could have. Yeah, it's quite frustrating actually.
If you think
they look creepy as fuck.
If you think about it, this series could have been just spread, like it could have been more in depth if they'd just taken one hooligan firm per episode.
They didn't have to go into Stoke.
No, I'd rather they didn't.
Because there's so much, like in this Midlands one, we meet 1, 2, 3, 4, 6 firms.
Yeah.
And then there's like crossover firms, like collaboration albums.
No need to go to the East Midlands. Like,
speaking of that, we meet, like, he goes to Wolves for some reason, but he only meets one guy very quickly.
Yeah.
And he's gone. And he says, oh, don't do it anymore. Gilly Shaw.
God. I'm not a fan of Gilly Shaw. I don't like him.
Well, he's part of the Yam Yam Army. He's the straight edge hooligan.
Wait a minute, we need to go back to Stoke for a minute and talk about those two creeps in the shades.
I just want to say one of them goes just he looks down the camera with his shades like we just don't like outsiders.
That should be on the Stoke tourist board.
It should.
Yeah.
Oh my true.
God. But. Danny's talking to Mark Chester and he's getting a bit cosy, right? He's almost got his arm round him and he's just having a chat and there's these two creeps with shades. One of them looks a bit like Rod Stewart and the other one looks like just like another kind of some freak who's like out of Deliverance. And the camera, this guy doesn't say a single word and the camera just pans and stops on him as he sits and looks at the other two, have a conversation. People need to watch this episode just to see those two people. Like, he's really creepy.
Yeah.
And then Straight Edge Hooligan comes on. Sorry, Tom, the segment. No, I've got to talk about these two people.
It's just on the Stoke one as well, is where, like Mark Chester makes out, like, the being a hooligan is, like, a way of life.
Oh, yeah,
The firm takes care of... Yeah. It's like, oh, you only book through one travel agent in Stoke because
your mate owns it or something.
Yeah,
like,
and it's like,
no, mate. Like,
I'm surprised we even leave Stoke.
I know a travel agent to go to an away game. Do we want to talk about when he comes back later as well? Now, and he's because instead of talking about him at the end, when he's at the Alsager Town and he's at Alsager Town Ultras.
Yeah. Oh God,
I just think this guy just seems like a total loser.
He is.
No, he thinks he's like the godfather of Stoke.
Yeah.
Well, it's like, he's welcome to
these like people are just standing there doing their flares at Alsager Town and you're like, oh,
if anyone didn't listen, a few weeks ago we did an away game special, and we picked our least favorite. My least favorite away game is Stoke, and if you watch this, you can see why I hate Stoke.
God, they're just not cool people. Like.
But this is like entirely accurate representation of the people of Stoke.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's how I feel when I go there. It's horrific.
Stoke and Port Vale, by the way, because every time I've been on away match to either of those places, those are the kind of people you meet. Yeah. It's just an awful place.
Yeah, it is.
Well, old Gilly Shaw doesn't really get much of a look in, so we'll go on to the kind of the love tryst, which is Nottingham Forest and Derby County.
Can I say one thing about Gilly Shaw, Tom?
Yeah, go on.
When he's got his newspaper clippings, because obviously, he's, like you say, he's packed it in and he's straight edge and all that, why is there a newspaper feature on him where he's facing profile, big spread on him, and underneath his picture is a picture of Diego Maradona. what world are these two people on the same page? I need to know more about that.
Well,
anyway, sorry about that. You can now
anyone
move
knows,
on to the love tryst if you want.
Tweet Craig and tell him
at Wiseman Takes. I don't Wiseman have my own Twitter account. Oh, I forgot. Pack that in.
Forgot. You are straight edge now.
I am.
As we were saying before about terrible names, Nottingham Forest have got pretty terrible names. Yeah. The Forest Executive Crew, which...
I thought you were talking about Gilly Shaw when you talked about terrible names.
Well, that is also a terrible name. Gilly.
Yam Yam Army. I like the Yam Yam Army name, though.
Well, that's, again, that's linked to
like the culture.
Like a Wolverhampton thing, mm. Yeah.
How they what were the talk. Stoke ones called again?
Naughty 40.
Oh, yeah, they've had
Yam Yam. What does Yam Yam mean something? I can't remember what it means.
I could ask
Becky what it means, but she's in the living room. Shall I ask her?
Why not? You ask her while we right. think about Toma from Derby's Lunatic Fringe.
And Boatsy.
Yeah. These two, they got really bad Lunatic Fringe as well. These names are crap. There's no thought gone into that.
It's the fringe part of it. Like, there's a part of a wider thing.
Yeah, there's a, yeah. I'm not a fan of...
Yeah.
But there's a great bit in this where they say, because normally the two should be enemies because it's Forest and Derby, but like Billy Bright and Fred from Millwall, they're mates because they met in prison, very much like Green Street 2, where they had to...
Unlike Green Street 2, Tom, they love each other, yeah.
there's some wonderful bits in this where
he's getting...
He's getting a tour around the city ground where Boatsy was just like, yeah, we just used to chuck people in the river. It's like, I'm sorry, but I'm struggling to believe this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Like, yeah, he says, there's a bit where one of them was running away and he threw himself in the river. And you hear Boatsy say, I know, because I saw it with my own two eyes. And it's like, mate, you're probably getting smashed in the face by a brick at that moment. There's another great bit coming up when he goes to Derby as well.
Well, I was going to say, well, we've had a trip round to the city ground, and then Tomo takes us down Derby, the old baseball ground, and to
brilliant.
Cambridge Street, the most dangerous street. And the fact that they reconstruct it and get old hooligans in, walking down
that.
Cambridge Street.
That reconstruction and how it says on the screen... Reconstruction with shit fake CCTV stuff. It's like this sums up the whole. This is the whole fucking program in a nutshell.
It's the fucking
it's so bad, man.
It says reconstruction.
I think it's fantastic, really.
But But just a quick mention, because I really wanted to get onto the coup de grace of this episode, which is the hooligans' wives, because this is an amazing section. But a quick word for the Leicester the Leicester baby squad.
Yes.
Again, oh my god, these are a bunch of morons as well.
The main interesting thing was because they've set this up as the race episode, then realised. That doesn't really come into it again after Birmingham. No. So we'll bring this chap in from Leicester, Suki, who looks like Joaquin Phoenix. To talk a little bit about how, well, he gets racially abused a bit and then he puts people right because he's not actually from Pakistan, he's from India. He talks a bit about how people from his community look upon it and stuff because basically they had to do something else about race. So they bring him in.
They said, oh, like, oh, we have a Sikh in our firm, and as if this has seemed like a good integration thing. But then, like, the Suki just drops in that it took him 5 years to be accepted by these people. So he would have, the undertone of this is, like, he must have got some serious, like, racial flack for trying to be one of the hooligans.
And I think they eventually just, like, accepted him as, like...
Yeah.
I don't know, like, there's something, unlike the Zulu one, which is this, like, really interesting thing, you don't get the sense this is integrated in Leicester. You get the sense that it's like, this guy was, like you say, Tom, kind of pestering him. They probably bullied him and eventually kind of accepted him as a bit of a novelty or something.
Yeah.
And there's this really uncomfortable, it just doesn't feel right.
Like,
there's something not right about this, I don't think.
It's not like... And also, it just seems it's one of him. There's only one person.
That's it, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, the only other mention you get of another Asian guy is when he gets off a train somewhere and the Asian guy from their firm starts hitting him.
Yeah.
And I can't remember which team it is.
It's not like the Zulus where everything seems to be integrated. It just seems
not at all.
It seems to be this, like, token kind of thing. It's like,
yeah,
bear in mind, we should mention that Tomo is black in the Derby lunatic fringe. Tomo is black. So
sorry, that's right. And race isn't really mentioned in that one.
Yeah.
Which is interesting, but he's a top boy as well, so maybe they had a bit of a thing in Derby where it's more like it was in Birmingham.
Yeah. Well, also, the Danny is absolutely amazed by the Leicester baby squad's name.
Oh, yeah, he loves it, doesn't he?
Oh, my God. It's just like, how is us like, oh, I thought, like, when you said baby squad, it was like, and then you lot turn up. It's just like, what were you expect? Have you just, like, discovered you were doing this documentary like 5 minutes ago?
Yes, he has.
Yeah, he probably has.
When he, what does he say? He says, you don't think their main activity is going to be child's play? Know what I mean? Yeah. And then one of their guys, just in case you're still not sure, he clears things up for us by saying, because we ain't babies, are we?
Sorry, no, thank you're you for not. That.
Quite clearly, you are adult men.
But like I said, the coup de grace of this episode is really when it
Can
gets
I also
on to...
just mention one other thing, Tom, was the nickname, and I have no idea because I've written this down. I've just written it on its own, and all it says is Colville Daz. Just thought he sounded like a top guy.
Well, speaking anyway. Of Yam Yam, by the way, is just based on the dialect.
But it means something, doesn't
like,
it?
It's like, I am, I think it's sort of
that
like...
That was it, right, all right.
Yam Yam.
So you'd say like, it's basically saying like, you are... Like you
am. Got it.
So it's all dialect based. It's what you call people from the black country. It would be classed as yam yams.
Well, that's good because you know what that is. It's better than baby squad, which was we were young back in the '80s, weren't we?
Baby squad. Great
reasoning,
yeah,
lads.
Terrible.
Excellent.
Yeah, they're all like now disgusting men.
Yeah.
The baby
anyway,
squad is also
wives.
The wives. Yes, because Danny Dyer gets on to the. They start talking about the lives outside of this, and Boatsy describes that he went out with a solicitor for 6 months, of which Danny returns with, yeah, women like a bit of rough, don't they?
Oh yeah, you know, all this made me think of
like, incredible.
How wrong I was wrong about what's he called, Rod King.
Rod King, yeah,
yeah, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously, so, Rod King was accurate.
Because then he meets the wives of the hooligans, and they just seem to be like completely cool with it all.
Yeah, they love it. In fact, they actually are into it. They're into the power thing. Oh yeah, everyone knows them in the pubs.
Yeah,
well,
and it's
yes,
a claim to fame.
One of them says like, "Oh, I feel like it." Sometimes you feel like a celebrity. It's like
everyone
what?
Knows it. Yeah, yeah.
It's just
so when can you remember one of the earlier episodes and the previous three. Someone says something about it being a bit bling bling or something and a bit like glitz and glamour and the girls love it and stuff. And he was it that was the airbag from Millwall, wasn't it?
Forgot about that.
Apparently he wasn't lying because these women fucking love it.
Well, he said it's like being famous. It's a bit of security. And it's like, and then she goes, I assume this is one of the producers, like, oh, what happens if, you know, if he gets any trouble? It's like, well, I know he's got his head screwed on.
And
it's like,
he hasn't.
No, they bloody haven't.
No, you've literally spent an hour explaining why he hasn't got his head screwed on.
He hasn't got his head screwed on.
And all these men, it shows all, like, the holiday pictures. They all look like, they look like angry eggs.
Yeah. Just like... What I love about this is, it's like, they describe the whole thing as being like a family, right?
Yeah.
And these women are part of the family. And one of them is called Scott Dinsdale. And he's like, yeah, I couldn't go to my dad's funeral because I was inside. And the letters of support I got and people, you know, coming through for me during this time. And you think, oh, that's all quite nice. Except you wouldn't have been in prison if you weren't at the football kicking the fuck out of people.
Yes.
So this family's actually meant you couldn't go to your dad's funeral, mate.
Yeah, and he's also quite, I don't know about you, but I found this bit really depressing at the end.
Oh,
where
there's
like a father-son, both from the Leicester thing. By the way, the dad had a great look of wearing like AstroTurf trainers, jeans, and then half a shirt tucked in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, good luck this. But his kid's like,
ugh.
He goes... would you like him to get into the firm? He's like, well, if I was a proper dad, I'd say no. I was like, oh my God.
What do you mean if I was a proper dad?
Yeah, it's grim, that, isn't it, really?
And then his son's like, oh yeah, if I had a son, I'd want him to be top boy in Leicester.
Yeah.
What a depressing thought.
My other favourite bit about what his dad says, well, I'd rather he was doing this than being a happy slapper. It's virtually the same thing, mate.
That was very 2006, that.
Yeah. Or a heroin addict, fair enough, that is worse.
Oh, God, well, it's like...
There are other options, though, hooligan dad. He can be something other than a happy slapper or a heroin addict.
Yeah, you only get three choices in life. Heroin, happy slapping, or hooligan. Take
your pick. Three H's. Triple H. So that's the true story. The real name, the Triple H in the wrestling, was really named after those three things.
Right, has anyone got any more on the on the Midlands before we
probably
head...
the jet off.
We head... Well... Jet off is very profound, because in the final part of this we wrap up Danny Dyer's Football Factories with a trip abroad. Welcome back to the final part of our deep dive into Danny Dyer's Real Football Factories. And now Danny's been all around the country meeting all the wonderful characters of the hooligan scene in England, and now he's doing the big one of going with England away. Essentially, this is just like kind of following like the England national football team. And to be honest, it's a bit of like they kind of phoned this in, really. And
there's some good. I mean, there's a little bits that are worth seeing, like. You know, Stephen in particular would enjoy seeing lots of men throwing patio furniture in Marseille.
Yeah,
in France 1998.
Well, if he wants footage of himself.
I mean, there's a good bit where they've got the talking head guy, who's a kind of like, he looks like he hasn't washed his hair for quite some time.
He looks like Charles Manson. He looks like Charles Manson.
He comes out with some good stuff, such as, because he's segued from hooliganism to taking photos of war zones. And is it like working in a war zone? Quite similar. Really?
Yeah, of course.
No, it's
not.
Yeah,
my thoughts exactly.
I don't know if anyone else had any particular favourite quotes.
Well, the entire build-up of this, where it's just doing the history of it, where like England fans would go to like Luxembourg and trash the shit out of it. But it just keeps going through of all these places where they've been like trashed. Yeah. And it's like, and then it's like, maybe the Russians had a point in 2016.
Yeah. It's really horrible. It made me feel like, there's a one of them where I think it's Marseille. This guy goes up from Nice for the game. He's on a camping holiday, ends up getting caught up in a melee and then stuck in this bloody awful prison. And you're thinking, Christ, I'm glad I wasn't at any of this.
Loses his job and everything when he gets back.
Yeah,
But it's like the whole thing, there's like the undertone of, well, we gave the world football and we also gave them football hooliganism.
Yes. It's most famous export.
It's just pathetic, really.
One of my favourite lines in it is Jason Mariner from the first episode.
Oh, yeah.
He's back. And he was saying with like the England, why people went to follow England. And he said, because it was full of like-minded people like-minded people who you get on well with. And it's this is done over footage of someone giving a Zeke Heil salute in a cafe. That is just absolutely incredible.
Because you get all these talking heads where they've obviously met him, and some of them actually go back to the scenes of the crimes and stuff. For example, Gary Boaty Clark.
Yeah,
back to Boaty. He says, Danny says, I think it's Danny who says of him, he's got more stamps in his passport than Michael Palin.
And
Danny walks edgily around for no reason, because none of these things that he's talking about are happening right now.
It's in the empty streets of Cologne.
Cologne. We'll get onto that, because it's de resistance.
They bring back our good friend Gilly Shaw, who gives us a rundown of all the European hooligans. And in no particular order, the Dutch are nothing, Germans, overrated, Italian ultras, load of bollocks, but the Poles, crackers. So he quite likes the Poles.
I would say Gilly Shaw's the most boring man on this programme.
Yeah, he is.
He's the one that features the least in the series, and they've got him to do the rundown of the top of the pops.
They should have got the Burnley lad in.
Oh, yeah. He's never been abroad.
No,
because he's not allowed.
A really good bit Yeah, yeah, definitely. There's a really good bit in this one where there's a Geordie nonce in a shopping centre who gets asked the question, what were we supposed to do? And then it cuts to this awful MP from the Thatcher government. He's just this horrible little, like, like he'd fit in well in the current mob, wouldn't he, in Parliament, to use a Danny Dyer phrase. Like, he's horrible. What's he called?
I don't know his name.
Colin Monion or something. Didn't like him.
He's the one who said, well, I would say animals, but animals don't behave like that. And he's just like,
oh, that's correct. Yeah, he's horrible, him.
See, the thing is with this, it goes through in, like, Dusseldorf 88, where it's like, where it's like England and German fans started fighting, blah, blah, blah. And then it's like, oh, in 1996, this was after the riots of, what's it, Lansdowne Road. In 1996, it was, you know, the good-natured England, the good side of England, cut to a massive riot in Trafalgar Square.
That was great. Love that.
And it's the same, like, they say about France 98, again, we went in with, like, a bit more positive attitude, massive riots. And the thing that was kind of annoying me, when it was just, it kind of portrayed these, like, the English as, like, oh, we were just, like, put upon, it was actually all the Germans and the Dutch doing all this. It's like, no, because you've just said you tore up Luxembourg for no reason and just like started battering policemen for no reason. And it's kind of like, you can kind of understand why it's not right what the police do, but you can kind of understand why they were a bit heavy handed.
Look, right.
So we're just going to get in first before they start doing this.
Well, yeah. Exactly. Even in the relatively good natured Euro 96, like you mentioned, Tom. There was, when the rioting kicks off in Trafalgar, this is the kind of why probably other police forces are thinking, right, we're going to have to deal with these.
Yeah.
Because a car was seized by mobs at Trafalgar because it was German.
Yeah.
There was like a family in it. What are you doing?
It's like there's a bit where they said in Euro 2000 where, like, because it was hosted by Holland and Belgium. So Belgian police, their idea was spray everyone with a water cannon. Whereas the Dutch were like, oh, we'll just do it essentially how they do it now.
Just,
they go around pubs and kind of mingle. But it's like that Dutch technique could have not worked. Easily couldn't have worked.
Yeah. I love the Dutch, man. They're like, I know it's kind of like a cliche because of like... they're kind of like, obviously, like illegal weed and all that kind of shit. But they're just so like liberal and like laid back. And they're just like, yeah, let's have a chat with them and they'll be fine. And they were. Like it worked.
Just pin everything on it just being all right.
And it's like, oh, it was. It's like, all right, great.
It's just great that in Antwerp they just let this like, looks like a tank, just spraying everyone.
And you're like, what the fuck's going on in Belgium? And then just over the road there, we'll just light a spliff up for you lads or whatever, you know, just join us.
It's great. And then, Grant Fleming was put off by the... he stopped being a hooligan after all the, you know, all the Nazism that crept
Didn't like that.
No. But obviously we touch on the banning orders, which is like seen as like a death penalty when Danny Dyer talks about it. But then what a way to round off this this entire series is Danny Dyer meeting a local firm, the Cologne Ultras, which it says everything about this film that they couldn't even research the fucking name of it. Just
amazing.
Like, why don't they have a name?
I mean, there are so many great lines. I've just written a bunch of quotes down. Like you say, Tom, I mean, I'll just jump in with this one because first, you might have some of these down, but he doesn't know the name, but they're a proper outfit. I'm now in Germany, heading to their, what have I got? Heading to their boozer, a little firm with me. I've told the treacle with us to wear trainers, not high heels. Once again, we're in unknown territory. Don't know if you've got any more for any more on the quote front, but they were some of my personal initial favourites.
The treacle, the use of the word treacle again, man.
You wouldn't do that now. You couldn't do that. Like,
no, you could,
it's really horrible.
But also, he's a bit where it's like, I don't know anything about him. So it's like, so no difference to what anything else that's happened before.
Yeah, you're just not on British soil. You're on German soil. Yeah. Other than that, exactly the same.
The interaction with, like, the interaction between him and these German fans is absolutely incredible.
You've got to talk about when he walks in the pub.
He goes into this tiny, it's a little pub in Cologne where they're all and they're all singing, like, songs in German.
Like Deutschland, yeah. Or whatever.
And then he just, and he keeps going, England,
like, looking at the camera over his shoulder.
Just, like, mumbling it.
Yeah. What do you reckon the Treacle's reaction to that was? Danny, I didn't wear my high heels because of this.
I can only imagine the amount of eye rolling she did in this series.
When he was making that line about told her not to wear her high heels, did she not? Do you think she just turned around and went, Danny, you fucking misogynist prick. Like, why would I walk around the streets of Cologne in high heels through the day when we're doing, like, a piece of work? And, who is this guy? He's just this little twerp. I hope he bashed her. I hope she bashed him. Not the other way around.
Oh, no.
She did. I hope she hit him with a stiletto. I hope she, like, literally went, fuck off.
She went trainers.
Because she had the stilettos in her hand.
Ah, right, okay.
I only mentioned getting hit by a stiletto. That once happened to me in Sunderland on a night out.
They meet Martin Beckham, which I thought was fake name. But he just keeps asking him, he's like, oh, is it kick off? Is it going to... Because this was filmed like a month before the World Cup in Germany.
Yeah.
And he's going, so is this going... So do you reckon it's going to, like, kick off in Germany? It's like, he just went, no. It's like, probably not.
He's like the most sensible one in the whole thing.
The bit where he's, so he leaves the firm, but he's stood across the road singing I'm Forever Blowing Bubbles. And then like,
it's the end of Green Street, isn't it?
Yes! They're running into him.
just
when he runs into them, I was howling the laughter watching that. I was like, you have literally banged on about how nervous you are in all these circumstances. And, like, these are clearly the nicest people you've met, by the way.
Yeah.
They just seem like a decent bunch.
Yeah.
Like, they seem all right.
then he gets shown that video of them all fighting in a wood.
That is mental, that mind.
I mean, well, that's always been a thing, but that's not necessarily like anything to do with hooliganism. It's just blokes.
Blokes who want to scrap.
Yeah. But then, so... I mean, before we get right to the end, has anyone got anything else that... when he goes in the wood, he said, I need to leave here because I'm scared a German's going to jump out of the tree and strangle me.
It's like, why have you gone to the woods? Why have you gone there? They're not there fighting now, you divvy.
Oh, he goes to a game and sees no bother at all.
Oh, yeah,
funny
of
that, isn't it?
Yeah.
It describes the Cologne Stadium as looking like Battersea Power Stadium.
Yeah.
But England are going to be playing there, and there's these big white poles in the corner of the stadium, which he says are going to ignite into the sky when England are there. Danny, you are mental, mate.
2-2 against Sweden.
Yeah.
Well, the weirdest part of this is the ending.
Yes, it is.
Because he sits with a... While Stone Roses, this is the one he's playing in the background, he's sat in a square in Cologne, and he's going, and then he's imploring everyone to not kick off at football.
Yeah.
And
it's like, I've sat through like nearly 6 hours of you saying to kick off at football and how great it is.
You're loving it.
And now he's like, maybe we've left all that behind us. So when you go to Germany... Just behave yourself. I was like, what?
Because I really think we've got a chance, and it would be awful if we got kicked out.
It's just baffling. Absolutely.
And then he finishes
baffling.
On the worst line of all time. Come on, the England.
Oh,
can't even get come on England right.
Oh, God.
You little buffoon.
Well, so there ends Danny Dyer's Real Football Factories. And what an education this has been.
I've loved every second.
I'd say my particular favourite is your man from Burnley. He was
He was terrifying, man.
Andy Porter, where are you? Pete, so pouring one out for big Andy Porter in Burnley and the Suicide Squad.
I enjoyed Danny in the first few episodes trying to buy clothes.
Yes, that was good.
I like how that theme ended as well.
Yeah,
it just was there, then it wasn't.
Yeah, it's just sort of like, am I ready to take this with me? But yeah, mate.
Yeah, of course you are,
it's
mate.
A shop.
You bought it.
Another shout out to Andy Colvin, undercover journo, who took on the Aberdeen.
James, mate.
My favourite one was the Scotland episode because it had the best array of characters.
I think my favourite episode was the North West with the Burnley, but the Man United just lunatic that was like following Man United.
I also like Thingy Beef. Yeah. I was a big fan of Beef. Great name.
Eddie Beef.
Favourite firm is the Zulus.
Yeah.
Because they got the best like backstory and stuff like that. They're pretty cool. I don't like any of the names in the Yorkshire ones except for the Ointment.
I'd give that the best name. I think
Ointment's pretty cool.
They can have the best name.
I think Andy Colvin is man of the show.
I'd say him or Dan Rivers, just for his flowing ginger locks.
I love Dan Rivers as
just
well.
Just an absolutely wonderful man with the weirdest accent.
Dan Rivers just seemed like a man out of place. Like, he got into this for the right reasons. I don't know what the right reasons are, but they're what he got into it for.
The ethical reasons.
Yeah, he thought, you know, I'm going to learn something by being a hooligan. And he did. He learned that petrol bombs might be thrown on Princes Street.
Yeah. And they're bad. They're
and that's not good.
I think there was
more petrol bombs in one of these as well in Yorkshire, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Yeah, we were talking about Sheffield Derby.
They didn't like the petrol bombs. He wasn't into that. That weird guy didn't like them. A big shout out for the Chuckle Brothers in the Shades in Stoke who don't say a word.
Yeah.
Just sit there quietly between the pirate and Right Said Fred.
I think Loki, hardest man is the Everton bloke.
Yes.
No, I think that an absolute lunatic in Hibs with a punch bag who died in real life.
Well, he is, yeah. But I think, like, Loki, I think the Everton bloke pretty, is hard pretty hard. As nails, yeah.
I think Stoke would do the weirdest things to you.
Yeah.
They don't just fight you in the street, they capture you, and things happen.
I think
unspeakable things.
You know, in like The Dark Knight Rises, when they have that like weird kangaroo court. I think that's what you'd be brought before Mark Chester, and you'd have like death or exile, and exile was just like wandering through the counties that make up Stoke, and then
And I think the punishment would be something very old school.
Yeah,
it
like
would involve you being
a lashing.
Yeah. Torture racks, the stocks outside the Britannia, but you don't get tomatoes thrown off you. You get bricks thrown off your face.
Oh, I think the hardest blowing in this was Trevor Tanner at Tottenham.
Oh,
yeah.
Jesus.
He was
Christ.
A bona fide lunatic.
Yeah, I was genuinely scared of him.
But also, thank you very much to Daniel Dyer for just a wonderful like insight into all these people and just launching a fruitful career that's landed him at EastEnders. He's come a long way from those stuff with Pinter.
Yeah, he's
having done Pinter.
He's so, done a bit of Pinter. Pinter, as well, if you read Danny's autobiography, what you'll find out is on the first page, back in 2000, I think the book was written around this time, he talks about how Harold Pinter actually sought him out for this role. That's page one. Page one. In fact, shall we finish on a reading? Because I've got the book to hand.
Yeah. We'll end on a reading piece.
I'll just grab the book. I'll give you a little bit of a reading of the opening of this book, which I haven't read yet, but maybe I should.
I've read it. It's great.
It's called Straight Up. The first chapter is called Champagne Supernova.
Yeah,
and we'll just... Yeah, skip the good bit.
Yeah, to end on this, Craig Clark reads the opening chapter of Danny Dyer's, what's it called? The
Straight
book?
Up.
Danny Dyer's Straight Up.
Right.
Take it away.
So what? Champagne Supernova. One of the most miserable times of my life was in the summer of 2000. I was just 23 years old and had moved into an old Gallagher's old gaff, Supernova Heights, with a girlfriend who was worth millions. And he was killing me with her non-stop party lifestyle. She bought the place and had it redecorated in an amazing style.
I bet it was.
Floor, ceiling, fish tank separated two rooms.
I was right.
An incredible kitchen stocked with all the beer you could drink, and a chill out area in the basement with a massive TV and fuck off sound system. In the evenings, I'd jump into a brand new Range Rover and drive to a play that I was in the at the National Theatre. The top playhouse in the country. It was a role other actors would have cut their bollocks off to get, and I'd been put into it at the personal insistence of the bloke who wrote it, Harold Pinter, the greatest playwright of the age. I was getting rave reviews for my performance and pats on the back from everyone who came to see it. That's all I'm reading. I can't take it beyond Pinter.
Thanks for listening to this Wise Men Say AV Club. Stay indoors. Keep washing your hands. Fuck the mags. Thanks for listening.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.